Joined by Andy Hodges on the Sterner and Havis Agency Hotline of HogCountryOnline.com. Andy, good afternoon.
How's it going, guys?
Going good, going good. Talk about this trip the Arkansas Razorbacks are making over to the Tad Pad in Ole Miss for tomorrow's game against the Ole Miss Rebels.
Well, the main thing they've got to do is figure out a way to put a noose around Marshall Henderson. The guy is leading the SEC in three-pointers made. He's sixth in the nation, leading the conference in scoring. And it's pretty easy to see who you've got to shut down if you want to slow Ole Miss any way, shape, form, or fashion. And Arkansas has struggled at times against people who can score very well. Against Frankie Sullivan, Auburn's leading scorer the other night, he shot 5 of 11 three-pointers. And, Trey, you were there watching the same thing I was. He started off cold, but when he got hot, he almost just didn't miss. And Arkansas's got to figure out a way to corral Marshall Henderson, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the country.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that can win games for you or can lose games for you. If he is not on, which he's been on most of the nights, but he does take some ill-advised shots. And if he does that in a close ball game, a good team's going to take advantage of that, and Ole Miss could see themselves on the losing side of a game.
Yeah, but as Mike Anderson keeps pointing out in every press conference, he's wanting his guys to shoot more, and sometimes you just live with them taking the bad shots. But the only way that a scorer is going to score is to put up shots, and sometimes you have to live with the bad shots that they put up and just sort of scratch your head and say, think about that a little bit more the next time you put one of those up. But Arkansas has struggled against people who can shoot from the outside. It's almost like they don't pay enough attention to the guys on the outside. And you know the coaches are aware of it. Mike Anderson talked at the press conference yesterday about how aware he was of Marshall Henderson and how good Marshall Henderson is and can take over a game. So I'm sure Arkansas's defensive plan is going to be figuring out a way to keep him from just shooting them out of the game.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about Ole Miss and their starting five. I mean, they have four players in double figures, and three of their starters are seniors. You know, talk about their leadership and what we're going to have to do to go in there and get a victory.
Well, Andy Kennedy has struggled over the past few years, particularly with his own fan base. The Rebels have looked at it pretty much as we can't get past the NIT tournament. Well, Andy Kennedy has said be patient. It takes a while to get the right players in. Some Ole Miss fans have been asking, well, how long do we have to be patient? This is the year, I think, that the Rebels are either going to do it or they're not going to do it. And because he has assembled a team that can score, he's assembled a team that has the right chemistry. In the past, Ole Miss has had some problems with chemistry among their players, and some of their best players were really not going to see the ball unless they grabbed the rebound or took the inbounds pass. And, Matt, you know what I'm talking about there. Sometimes if your teammates don't throw you the ball, it doesn't matter how good you are.
Right.
And it comes down to chemistry, and I think Andy Kennedy has put it all together, and this is his best chance at a big run in the SEC.
Andy, Ole Miss is about 160 tickets sold away from a sellout tomorrow. Back-to-back sellouts, they sold out the game against Missouri, close to selling out this one against Arkansas. It has always been a difficult place to play in the SEC, but it hasn't been because of the crowd over there.
And just because of the facility.
Just because of the facility, the fact that it's a rundown piece of, well, trash, basically.
The lighting's horrible. But they seem like they're right on top of you.
They are on top of you. They are on top of you. But the lighting's horrible. The place is old. Sooner or later, they're going to have to get a new arena. That's all there is to it.
Well, as I said when I was doing sports radio over there, and it's no big secret that I had sports radio stations in Oxford up until about a year and a half ago, The athletic director got very upset with me when I made the proclamation on the radio that I've been in funeral home parlors that were better lit than the Tad Pad.
It's true.
I mean, it's really bad. It's really annoying. And, yeah, they're trying to – I mean, this place even had a women's game 2 years ago between Ole Miss and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. That was they just called it off
halfway through the second half.
Because the ceiling, the roof was leaking water from a rainstorm outside.
Well, no, it wasn't the roof leaking, Trey. What it was, the water was coming in through vents on the side of the building and going all the way to the floor.
Yeah, wow. Well, my question is for this Arkansas team that has not had success on the road. If they come out tomorrow, and I know it's an early game, maybe that helps them. Maybe they don't have to sit around in a hotel all day. They're about to fly over there. They're going to shoot around this afternoon. They won't have a morning shoot around because of the time of the game. But if they can jump on Ole Miss early, get some confidence, that has to be the recipe for success over there.
Yeah, they've got to get on them, and they've got to stay on Ole Miss's scores because Ole Miss has people who can put the ball in the hole, and that seems to be the problem that Arkansas has had. The other thing about the Tad Pad, I want to point this out because I wasn't aware of it until I was over there so much. There is a depth perception problem that teams struggle to adapt to in the Tad Pad. And Matt, I don't know.
Is it because of the lighting? I did play over there. I want to say it's like what Trey said about the lighting a little bit, that it does seem a little darker there than other places.
It's the lighting and the angle that the background takes from the floor up through the glass. It causes a weird change in color
right. That
tends to throw off the depth perception. I know when you have a light background behind a backboard. Very few places have white backgrounds behind the backboard, and I know we've seen it in a lot of high school games. It really throws off the depth perception for players, and, you know, guys that have played at that level tell me that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Andy, how did Mike Anderson handle the questions yesterday about Hunter Mickelson and Ricky Scott?
Just coach's decision, and, you know, Hunter was struggling the other night, so he made the change, and Mardrakus Wade stepped up. And Mike just pretty much dismisses those with, well, it was a coach's decision, he was struggling, having a bad night, and when Hunter is aggressive down low, he does better. When he loses that aggressiveness, not so much, and I don't think Mike Anderson thought he had the aggressiveness down low the other night, so he took him out of the game, and Hunter just didn't see much action in the second half.
Do you think he might be playing a little bit out of position at times?
I think so, based on the people that I talk to that know a lot more about basketball than I do, but I don't think they have a lot of choice with the makeup of this team where he and Marshawn Powell and Cody Clark has stepped up and started getting some rebounds. But if they want to have any size inside, they've got to have Hunter Mickelson down low. They don't have any options.
Well, and we had Coach Ron Crawford in earlier, I want to say.
Wednesday.
Well, we had him in then, but the first time we had him in a month ago, he said Hunter Mickelson is just rushing everything. It's like he's not relaxed enough where he can just play. And I know just from playing, it takes a while sometimes for everything to slow down a little bit and you can just play, even though you're playing hard, but you're kind of playing at your own pace. It's comfortable for you that you can compete. And I've noticed that the last game, he'd get the ball and he'd just shoot it right away instead of really gathering himself when he has time and taking his time a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think some of that comes from in practice where he's playing around guys who are shorter than he is.
Yeah.
And they're very, very quick, and he gets used to, you know, let's face it, if you're putting up a shot against Cody Clark, Cody's going to get there in position to guard it a lot quicker than, say, Chubb from Auburn was, who kind of, you know, was one of these guys that looked like he was moving in slow motion when he was moving as fast as he could, and I think Hunter struggles at times adapting to the difference in personnel from what he sees in practice.
Andy, the SEC, obviously, everybody's playing for one trophy this year. No East, no West in basketball. Florida's 3-0. Ole Miss is 3-0. A win tomorrow can go a long way in trying to become the best of the SEC.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Arkansas, this is a game that they can go down. They can beat Ole Miss. I think person for person, they can beat Ole Miss, and they don't have to have a lot of flukes to do it. I mean, Vanderbilt had Ole Miss beaten, and I'm still trying to figure out how Ole Miss ended up getting that game to overtime because it just defied logic what Vanderbilt did. They did everything except escort them down the court for the final shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a game that Arkansas can go in and win, but they're going to have to win, learn how to win on the road.
And that's the thing, you know, Ole Miss was on the road, and we know it's tough to win on the road. Do you think any way possible that Ole Miss is kind of overlooking the Hogs this game?
Well, I think it's very possible. I don't think Ole Miss is the people that I have spoken to in Oxford this week. Here's the way most of the conversations have gone. Hey, dude, you coming down to watch us kick y'all backside this weekend?
And I agree with you. From talking to some people, they just seem like this is going to be a victory for Ole Miss, and they might be a little nonchalant about it.
Yeah, and one of the things, the culture of Ole Miss, the town and the surrounding fan base and the community, those players hear from the fans constantly. Because the town is so small, it is so small. There's only one Walmart in town. There's only one Kroger in town for grocery store. They run into the fans who pump them up about stuff like that. And I'm sure they're hearing from the fans all week, you guys got this one in the bag. And I have seen it in every sport at Ole Miss where the fans have pumped the players, and it's almost impossible when you hear it over and over and over, I would think, to not have that in the back of your mind that, yeah, we should win this game pretty easy.
Right.
Andy, let's switch to Arkansas football. Michael Smith named wide receivers coach. It didn't take long for Brett Bielema to find a replacement for George McDonald.
Coming over from Kansas State, where he was, I remember when he played, and I'll be honest, guys, it really threw me for a loop when I first saw the name. I thought, what's he bringing him in as a coach for? And then it dawned on me it wasn't the former player, Michael Smith. It was the Kansas State wide receiver. He's supposed to be a good recruiter. I know that he has some recruiting ties in Texas, where he has recruited for Bill Snyder down there. And, you know, it's with assistant coaches and the staff, you just have to see how it all plays out on the field. I mean, we sit here and look at it, and we think this is a pretty good-looking staff. Until we see the game start in September, we're not going to know.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But when you look at the resumes, you have to say that he's doing one heck of a job of putting together a staff.
Yeah, based on resume, now all they have to do is all of them have to mesh. That's the thing that keeps me from just, you know, jumping up and down and going, hey, this is a great staff, is the number of guys that have never worked together before. And there is so much of a dynamic on a coaching staff of guys being able to coexist. There are very few places that can win games like Bobby Bowden did at Florida State when Mickey Andrews and Joe Amato were nearly having a fist fight in every defensive meeting every day. There's very few staffs that can coexist and win ball games like that. It trickles down to the players, and you end up having problems. I don't know that there's any of that on this staff. I don't think so. I hope it's not. But how they all coexist is going to be the key, and we're not going to know that until they at least spring practice. We may see some signs of it in spring practice because it's going to be so different for these players from what they have experienced in the past. The practices are going to be much more physical. It's going to be 180 degrees from what they've had the last 5 years.
Andy, I want to get your thoughts on the Manti Te'o story. It broke right as we were going off the air on Wednesday after we had had you on, and I know you're a veteran journalist. You work for down in Dallas and pretty much all over. Your thoughts on the Manti Te'o story?
I don't see where it's that big of a deal. I feel sorry for the kid because now it's coming out. Shelly Smith of ESPN came out, and she got the definitive, or what, I'm putting definitive in quotes there, that the Tuiasosopo guy in Los Angeles created all of this, and Manti Te'o was sucked in. Now, the embarrassment that the kid feels, I'm sure, is overwhelming because he probably feels like the biggest idiot on the planet right now.
Well, and my question is, what it looks like is he knew about it and continued to lead them on.
Well, once you get in so deep on a thing like that, Matt, I remember when I was that age.
What, do you think he was embarrassed to actually admit it then? Do you think maybe if he just thought, well, if I just continue with it, it'd go away instead of admitting it then?
I think that's exactly what he thought. And, you know, wouldn't you be embarrassed in that position?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're up for the Heisman and you're having a good year. You're building this relationship with somebody, and then all of a sudden you know you've been tricked, and you're a 21-year-old kid. It's hard for you when people ask you a question. It's hard to admit it because he did go and tell Notre Dame the 26th, right? December 26th, he told them about it, but then continued to talk about it. It just seems like that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I think this is a story that has been so blown out of proportion. Because I'm sitting here looking at an Ole Miss press release. Notre Dame did nothing illegal. Could they have handled it differently? Yeah, probably, but there's a million things, you know, every month that schools could handle a little bit differently. It's just an embarrassment that I think everybody was hoping would go away and disappear, that, you know, he got set up. And I'm sure there's a lot of people having a big belly laugh over, yeah, we really messed with his head and everything.
Well, but
the season's over.
The season's over, yes. He's still got an NFL career to come. But do you think that he liked the limelight
And that's what his teammate said,
yes,
right?
Yes, the limelight that he had the cameras on him all the time, that the story, yes, he was a good football player, but there was a story to go with this football player that might have helped him win some of these awards.
Yeah, I'm sure he did enjoy it. I'm sure he did relish in it. I'm sure, you know, in the back of his mind, he may have known that it was a hoax back in October and just kept his mouth shut. You know, hey, it happened. Part of the blame falls on us in the media because we want to make these guys bigger than life, and we get a story like that one, and we never let it go. This goes back to what I've said for years about the media and that I have pretty much tried to do for all 40 years I've been in the media is if it's not affecting what happens on the field, on the court, their performance, it ain't none of my business. That's between them and, you know, however they live their lives. That's none of my business. And this is a case where the media took a story, ran with it, made it bigger than what it was. The kid had a tragedy. He lost his grandmother. Then he loses what? He loses this make-believe girlfriend, what, 6 days later or something?
No, like the next day. Supposedly.
Yeah, they made a big story out of it. Okay, if it had been, even if it was real, and he had lost his girlfriend, okay. From a media standpoint, you report it and then move on. Let the guy deal with it however he chooses to deal with it. But no, they turned it into a media deal, and this is a case where ESPN and some of the others, in my opinion, blew it out of proportion back in September.
Andy, what can listeners, if they go to hogcountryonline.com right now, what can they find?
We've got a ton of video on the Razorback women's game from last night. We've got all the video on that, and we are diligently working on the recruiting. First big weekend, a visit coming in this weekend, and I know the Catfish Hole, I was out there last night, and they're planning for a big Saturday.
All right, Andy, we appreciate it as always. Thanks for your time. Well, you going to make the trip to Oxford tomorrow?
No. I spent too much time in Oxford, and I'm not sure the statute of limitations has expired on some stuff.
Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. See you guys.